Good morning. We hear these words from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4. And if you're following along in the bulletin, I believe there's a phrase missing in the first verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of months ago, Mankato received quite an honor. It was listed in Forbes magazine, and you might have heard about this, as a third best place in the United States for business and for careers among cities that would be 250,000 or less. You're probably wondering, why would it get listed that way? Well, some of the things that they had when the report came out were things like this: the cost of living nearly 11% below national average, housing prices manageable, average commute to work only 17 minutes, good health care accessibility, and I guess there were other things added to the list. I mentioned these kudos about Mankato so that we make ourselves think for a moment about something we all know well, and that is, it's true, isn't it, that the bottom line on a salary package doesn't really tell the full picture, does it? If you're out looking for work and you take a look at that, you might be impressed. But there are all kinds of benefits, sometimes real hidden benefits too. There's, of course, the benefits that are stated, health insurance, pension, things like that. But there can be then what we call the residual benefits, the hidden benefits too. Maybe it even has to do with the pace of life. Or maybe it has to do with the location. And who knows, as you go out and look for that job someday, you're going to be applying and so on too. Who knows, maybe you'll end up in a place like Mankato. After all, don't forget there's that added benefit too, being able to attend BLC alumni events. No matter where you end up, no matter whether you're able to fulfill all your dreams too in terms of the vocations in other ways, maybe your dreams about getting married and having a family, settling into a certain kind of community that's great for spiritual life and so on. No matter where it is that you end up and you're stationed in life that way, you and I can know really right now. And that's what David's directing us to right here in Psalm 103. We can know right now that we have a benefit package, second to none, that's tremendous. It is a benefit bundle that is so uplifting, inspiring for us, motivational every day, that it really carries us through the most difficult, most troubling times of our life. And I think back to a time when an 80-year-old lady would come to our church services, and she was regular every Sunday, very crippled because she had rheumatoid arthritis. She'd show up in Bible class. And often I remember she'd raise her hand as we were talking about being grateful for things, and she'd say, "And we shouldn't forget to thank the Lord for our trials." That's especially when the benefit package we're talking about really in our text, the benefit bundle, really steps in, doesn't it, and takes over. Because of the Lord's great mercy, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, great is his faithfulness. You know where that's found in the Bible? It's interesting, isn't it? It's found in the book of Lamentations. Yesterday and today's chapel and tomorrow too focuses a lot on the thanksgiving, thanking God for blessings that way. We have words for blessings like gifts and mercies and kindnesses and so on, compassions, as we just heard. And now we're focusing, too, on this matter of benefits. And it's interesting that that word in the Hebrew language is found in Psalm 116. And there it's translated as goodness, where the psalmist writes, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me?" Yesterday, our chaplain had us think about all of these blessings, these gifts that we have from our God that are so easy to take for granted about just day-to-day life matters. Here, David directs us to the whole bundle of things. And he says, forget not all his benefits, all of them. And he begins with the best benefit of all. It's the one that really is the source of all the other benefits. And he says it's who forgives all our iniquities. Not just some of them, not just some that trouble us maybe at the moment here, but all of them in our life. Forgives all our iniquities. And David draws attention to the fact that how this can be, because it says God, he says God redeems us from destruction, redeems us from the pit, the eternal pit, hellfire. And he does this, of course, you know, by the sending of David's greater son, the Messiah, Jesus, who has now come into the world. But in this psalm, David goes on to say, too, yes, we have other blessings as a result of this as well. We know that God will heal our diseases right now in time, but certainly, and that's according to what his will be for our life, of course, and that's what we want. But it will certainly be in the day of the glorious resurrection of the body. And then, too, he says right here that the Lord crowns us with loving kindness, his tender mercies that way. This is, of course, his love for us, but it's also including, actually, his crowning us with loving kindness that we reflect, that we show towards others. We don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm. Could it have been that he wrote it at the time of Psalm 32 and 51, as we know, where it's right after he had fallen into those two great sins, adultery and murder? But we do know this. In this psalm, he really focuses, doesn't he, on the depth of this redeeming kind of love of our God for us. We might say he actually focuses on the width of it, because the passage is in this psalm that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How are we doing at the praise? There's an interesting little story that comes from Jewish tradition that tells of a rabbi being asked a question, and that is this, that why was it that God did not give manna to the Israelites enough for one whole year at just one time? Why was it so often giving them manna? And he responded by, the story goes, that he responded by telling him a little parable and said that there was a king who had a son. And the king decided to give his son an allowance for the whole year. And so he would give it to him on a particular day in the year. But the thing is, that's the only time the son would show up. So then the king decided to change his mind, and he decided to dole it out only enough sufficient for the day, so that now he'd see that son on a regular basis throughout the whole year, day by day. And the rabbi then said, that's how God deals with Israel. Day by day, our thanks for the Lord. How are we doing at it? Luther said this, that, you know, we can't give God anything. Of course, he owns everything. All we can do is give him honor, praise, thanks. But when it comes to that honor, praise, and thanks, you and I know, down deep in our heart, we can be singing beautiful hymns, but at times it just kind of lacks, doesn't it? Maybe it super lacks. And then sometimes there's that worry that gets in there, and then there's the complaining that starts and so on too. And it doesn't take long, even after we've used our mouths for praise to the Lord that way. You and I know we wouldn't really deserve at all to have that crown of loving kindness put on our head, talked about in the text here, at all. If we had something to put on our head comparatively, there would be a crown of punishment, total punishment. Thank God, we do have one who wore the crown of punishment in the place of you and me. And that's why David urges us to have praise in this psalm for our God more than anything else, because our God forgives all our iniquities, and that means this: He also forgives even our sins of not being so thankful to Him. And He does it completely. All because, of course, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, David's greater son, has come. He's lived the holy life, something you and I could not do. He's done it perfectly before the Heavenly Father in our place. And then He does take on the whole punishment that we had coming for us. But He satisfies the justice of God that way, so that God now declares to us the gracious forgiveness of every one of our sins. There is no higher benefit, no higher blessing in the whole world than to hear it stated clearly: in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you've heard the old joke told about pastors. Well, the pay may not be so great, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. You know what? We don't have to wait until we're out of this present world to enjoy the benefits we're talking about here. Sure, there will be the culmination of all the benefits and the blessings, of course, and eternal life in heaven, and what a day that'll be. But you and I can know that we got this benefit bundle right now for us in our life, no matter what our station will be here. We have the benefit bundle. Because when you have forgiveness of sins, you've got everything. You've got God's love and care every day you walk on this earth until the time He takes us to eternity with Him. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Please rise for prayer. When all Thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Though all eternity, through all eternity, to Thee a joyful song I'll raise, but oh, eternity's too short to utter all Thy praise. Amen.